Welcome to Chair Chat, an online web series hosted by me, Jamie Harrison, the chairman of the South Carolina Democratic Party. Our goal in this series is to begin to look at political leaders, activists, and people involved in politics in a three-dimensional manner. We will move past the political caricatures to get to know the individual. So now, let's chat. South Carolina Democrats pride ourselves on having the most interesting and resourceful candidates running for office. Two of the most exciting candidates this cycle are running against Joe Wilson and Mark Sanford. I'm so happy to welcome to Chair Chats Dimitri Tierney and Eric Bjorn. Welcome to Chair Chats.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
It's so good to see you. So good to have you here. It's a great weekend because it's Dem weekend here in South Carolina. You're going to, for the first time, meet so many Democrats across the state. And I want to start off, Dimitri, you're running against Mark Sanford, but a lot of people don't know who you are. Give us a little bit, very sliver, in terms of your life story.
My life story. It's kind of the American story for a lot of people since the Great Recession. I had a great career going. I traveled all over the world in the high-tech industry. I had a big house on the coast. And then after the Great Recession, within a couple of years, I couldn't find a job anywhere and ended up becoming homeless for a couple of months. And then retrained as a truck driver and drove all over America. And it was a huge awakening for me because I had been part of the top 5% of earners in America for most of my career. And suddenly I was in the bottom 5% of earners while I was homeless and then, you know, just living in the lower half of income earners for America. And I met an America I did not know existed. And it woke me up to the injustices that are out here that have been instituted over the past 30 years or so. And I got involved in social justice issues a few years ago. And I realized while we can do an awful lot of protesting out in the street and we can help people one-on-one, nothing really changes until legislation changes. And if you look through history, the biggest improvements to the lives of average Americans have happened through legislation after a social uprising, some sort of revolution of sorts. And suddenly legislation is enacted, people's lives get better, everything today in our lives, 40-hour work week, Medicaid, Medicare, everything came about through legislation after an uprising of one sort or another. So I thought, this is the ideal time to do this uprising, and I want to get into this with everything I am. And I mean, part of the reason for that was I couldn't see myself living 20 years from now, looking back on this time and having my grandkids ask me, geez, Grandpa, what did you do when all this was going on? And if I had just said nothing, I wouldn't have been able to live with myself. So I'm throwing myself fully into this.
Well, great. Well, you are such a passionate advocate, and I know particularly the folks in the Charleston area, in the Lowcountry, know that you're always out there and you're always fighting. So it's good to have you on the team.
Thanks.
So, Eric, tell us a little bit about you. You are running against the man who was at the State of the Union and yelled, "You lie," at President Barack Obama. Give us a sense of your background and why you decided you wanted to challenge Joe Wilson.
Certainly. I'm Norwegian of ancestry, as the name might give it away. A lot of people say, how do you pronounce it? So it's Bjorn, and it actually means bear. I am a native of Minnesota, a bleeding blue state. I went to college in Chicago at Wheaton College, which is Billy Graham's alma mater.
Yeah.
And then lived in Washington for a while in Charlottesville and moved to Columbia in January 2003. 4 years ago, I walked into my local voting booth and saw before me status quo Joe's name, and it was an empty ballot. And I thought, "This, how can this be? How could nobody stand?" 2 years ago, there was a fake Democrat on the ballot against status quo Joe, and I won't give him the benefit of that name we know him by, because after 8 terms and 15 years, all he's brought us is shame and a nickname.
Yeah.
So I gave myself a series of litmus tests. when Bernie Sanders came to speak at the Medallion Center last August, I walked out of that meeting feeling a moral imperative to run. And you have to get everybody to think together, as a community, and you have to think, okay, what are the things that we share in common? What are the things that will work for the betterment of all? And see, that's what Joe Wilson hasn't done in all those terms in office. He hasn't even served the people that vote for him. He's the legislative henchman of the 1%. And I think I can reach out to Republicans and conservatives and say, hey, look at, on the way over here today, how many potholes did you hit? Our infrastructure is crumbling. Healthcare, if you talk to people long enough, if you have 10 to 15 minutes, they come around in healthcare.
No kidding. Yeah.
Because even the most conservative person in a country like Canada or in European countries gets it.
That's it.
Healthcare is a human right. There are a lot of things that we can come together on and accomplish in our district and going into the next Congress.
In both of your districts, you have very impoverished communities. And Dimitri, I read something once that said in some of your travels you met a person who says, you know, it really doesn't matter who, why should I vote? It doesn't matter who I vote for because my life doesn't change.
Yeah.
I think in both of your districts, that sentiment is very, very strong, particularly in some of the African-American rural communities. How, and this is a question for both of you, how are you going to get those folks energized and activated to come out and vote for you in the fall? Because in order to beat Joe Wilson, in order to beat Mark Sanford, you're going to need those people to come out.
Yeah. We have to get them excited about prosperity. I mean, the people who are down and out, they're not excited about prosperity because they don't think it will ever come to them. We have to connect with them and say, hey, here, there are steps to you having a better way. And government is good. That's what separates us from the Republicans.
For me personally, I have a real tough nut to crack. If you look at the numbers, I'm an engineer by training and by temperament, and so I always look at the numbers. Mm-hmm. I need to get 100,000 people out that have never voted before in the first congressional district. They are there. There are registered Democrats in that district that just haven't voted, and for exactly that reason that you said. So many people just feel like, well, you know, either way, whether I vote or not, my life isn't going to change. So when I go through the checkout counter, I say, you know, how much are you earning? And it's surprising how many people actually tell me exactly how much they're earning. Oh, $9 an hour. How would you like to earn $15 an hour? Wow, really? I could do that? Yeah. Oh, what about health care? Well, I don't have any health care because it's too expensive. Well, how would you like to have health care taken care of? I think right now in this campaign, the Democratic Party has grabbed the issues that really mean a lot to the people that have been disenfranchised in America, basically the working poor, the 75% of us that don't have $1,000 in their savings right now to handle those emergencies. We're all living in fear of complete financial collapse. So just conversations with those people. Now, what am I actually physically doing about it? I've realized I'm never going to earn as much money for this campaign as Mr. Sanford has been able to. He has about $1 million in the bank right now. And I have to do something a little bit different to get free publicity. So one of the things I'm doing is I'm calling biking the low country rather than hiking the Appalachian Trail. And I'm leaving on June 5th on my little folding bike and towing behind me my canoe that's also rigged up as a sailboat. And the 1st Congressional District is essentially a collection of islands. And to get from one island to the other via wheeled vehicle, you have to go out of the district. I will stay entirely in the district for 70 days, all of June, all of July, and a little bit of August, and transfer or go between islands with either my canoe or set up as a sailboat. And then when I'm on the islands, I will bike around towing all my gear behind me, sleeping on people's porches, meeting people where I can, having rallies where I can. And my goal is to talk to 7,000 people, 100 people a day for those 70 days I'll be out there.
Wow, that's amazing. Also means you're in good shape.
I will be in good shape.
You're going to wear a helmet, right? I'm
going to be going so slow. That's going to be a 300-pound boat behind me. I'll be in great shape by the end of it. I'm not in great shape yet. So. But I've done a lot of biking in the past. So I had a lot of sailing and a lot of canoeing.
Is that what you like to do generally?
In the past, yeah. Actually, I had a long history as a sort of an adrenaline junkie when I was a kid.
Yeah.
But I just like being out in nature when I get a chance. I'm really looking forward to this, not only because being out in nature, but meeting people. I love talking to people. And, you know, that's what's been great about campaigning over the last few months, that I meet people and they tell me what their problems are. And, you know, at the bottom, we're all pretty much the same. We all want the basically the same things. And I'll tell you, I talk to conservatives, I talk to liberals, I talk to Democrats, I talk to Republicans. There are so many things we can come together about in the middle. And I think that's what's going to happen this campaign. That's what I'm shooting for.
Do you guys have kids? Eric, you have kids. Dimitri, you have kids.
Yes.
How are your kids looking at the fact that their dads are running for Congress right now? What's that impact? What's going in through their minds?
Well, my kid's almost as old as you, so it's a completely different thing.
He's like,
so,
go
yeah.
for it, Dad.
Yeah, my daughter's 8. She's like second grade. And ever since she was 2 or 3, a couple times a year, we go down to the State House steps. Especially always on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We sit at the top of the steps. And even though I ran this giant program for the state very successfully, one of the things I've really learned about government, the way to break it down, the way I can really understand it for the first time ever, is having to explain it to a 3-year-old, then a 4-year-old, and a 5-year-old. We look at out there, and we talked about the Confederate flag or national health care, having to break issues down. And she had an important role in making this decision. I talked to her and said, you know, Papa's thinking of running for office. I want you to have some input here. And she said, well, does that mean we'll still be able to have bedtime stories together? And I said, I'm convinced that the voters of District 2 want me to stay abreast on all things Harry Potter. So, yes. And she said, then go for it. You know, it's something we don't see anymore. Nobody calls himself a civil servant. You know, we have a candidate for sheriff in Richland County, and he's saying it's protect and serve. Okay. One of the things that I've always taken and put into my work as a government employee is that I'm a public servant. I'm a foot washer. It's part of why I went back into public librarianship. 1,000 people walk into our branch a day. For many of them, the library is the last ditch chance of hope for something. It's not just books. People say, if you don't help me find this thing out, I'm going to lose my car. I'm going to lose my home. I don't know what I'm doing. I have nowhere to turn. I'm a public servant. I'm your foot washer every day at the library. And I will do the same thing in Congress. And I know my friend Dimitri will do the same. We're not going to think of ourselves as up here on this cloud. We're down here doing the dirty work that needs to get done to build civilization back up to where it needs to be.
Well, I tell you guys, this has been so great. I think when our voters get to know who you are and get to contrast you with the current incumbents in those roles, is a clear choice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for stepping up. Thank you so much for putting yourself out there. Thank you for running with the Democratic Party. I really appreciate it. And thank you for being on Chat Chats.
Thanks, Jamie.
Thank you.
And thank you, because you're always welcome on Chair Chats.
On the next Chair Chats, it's almost like finding a dinosaur to find young white men who would be willing to run as a Democrat, not only for Congress, but for anything. Well, what do you think that recipe is for not only the South Carolina Democratic Party, but I think parties all across the South, to bring younger people back into the party?